My friends, there is certainly a lot of anxiety in the air these autumn days. Those of us who live in this part of the world with four distinct seasons watch the trees lose their leaves that once colorfully decorated their branches. We also reflect on our loved ones whom we remembered at our Mass of Remembrance on All Souls Day. We hold on to our seats, waiting for the final outcome of what has been a deeply contentious presidential campaign. So much sadness, so much violence, so much uncertainty clutters our news feed. What next? Brothers and sisters, as the liturgical year winds down, the gospel over these next four Sundays speak to our deepest fears, yet offer us a most profound hope. And today, in a particular way, Jesus speaks of a God as a God of the living, who promises that the ones who will rise will be God's children. So you've just heard the gospel, and in that gospel, Jesus is busy debating a group of Sadducees about resurrection. And I'm sure you would agree that this close to the presidential election, debate exhaustion has certainly set in. But my friends, not for Jesus. The Sadducees we hear about didn't believe in the resurrection and are trying to trick Jesus into saying there's no resurrection. So they spin an extreme case involving one of Israel's 613 laws found in Deuteronomy chapter 25 to argue that resurrection is ridiculous. This particular law obligates a surviving brother to marry his widowed sister-in-law if the brother dies without fathering an heir. So the Sadducees asked Jesus rather a cross question as to whose wife she will be at the resurrection. No, my friends, this is not seven brides for seven brothers in the Hollywood movie style, but one bride for all of them. The Sadducees make a mistake that isn't unheard of today because they tried applying earthly standards to heavenly ones. And we shouldn't be too hard on the Sadducees because we tend to think of the life to come in terms of our own limited assumptions. When Jesus speaks of the heavenly banquet, we wonder if they'll be serving the kind of food we like up there. In response to the Sadducees, Jesus shows himself to be a skilled rabbi interpreting and arguing from Israel's scriptures, while at the same time turning the tables on them. Their question is foolish, not because there's no resurrection, but because the ultimate relationship for each of us is our union not with a husband or wife or parent or child or friend or neighbor, but with God. Jesus points out that we can't understand eternity with our earthly existence. There's no comparison. Jesus argues that the Sadducees have failed to understand the nature of resurrection and the scriptures. The Sadducees' real issue here has nothing to do with the case of a woman with seven husbands, but focuses on the denial of the resurrection. And Jesus dismisses the Sadducees' assumption that life in the resurrection will be identical to life on earth, and insists that this life doesn't depend on marriage or biological mortality. Brothers and sisters, Jesus answers the Sadducees with words from Exodus chapter 3. That God is a God of the living and not of the dead. It follows then, said Jesus, that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are living, not dead. And this is proof of the resurrection. Jesus' argument thus convinces his audience. And Jesus beats the Sadducees at their own game, if you will, using the scriptures to prove the validity of belief in the resurrection. Likewise, our first reading today from the second book of Maccabees is particularly appropriate because it shows us the gradual development in the Hebrew scriptures of a hope for an afterlife. This belief and hope are seen in the seven Jewish martyrs, all brothers who offer their lives, not as a rejection of this world, but in trust of a living God. One of the brothers says it this way, just before he is killed. It is my choice to die at the hands of men with the hope God gives of being raised up by him. Thus, the martyrdom of these brothers led many Jews to a future life, which paved the way for the idea of resurrection and to a blessed reward. So then, my friends, what about death itself? Is it the end? And if not, what happens next? We know that death is very hard to talk about, but life after death is even harder. Brothers and sisters, all of us have a desire for immortality, which some seek in various ways. There is immortality of fame, like that of movie stars, whose names live on after death. There is immortality of influence, like the very wealthy people who might donate art, and politicians and statespersons who have monuments erected in their honor. Then there is immortality of power, usually accomplished through the establishment of foundations and charitable institutions. My friends, our Christian faith calls us to the realization that we are destined to die, but it is not our ultimate destiny. Eternal life with God is. For Christians, death is a door, not a wall, to the presence of God. When in a few moments we say in the last line of the Apostles' Creed, I believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting, we are asserting our belief that in a way no one fully understands, that at our resurrection, our body joins our spirit to continue our existence in eternal life. To become sons and daughters of the resurrection, then, we must embrace that gospel vision of love of neighbor as sisters and brothers in Christ. While we should be concerned about our life after death, we needn't be over-anxious. And that's what St. Paul wrote to the young church in Thessalonica, which upset the early community, because many expected the end of the world and Jesus' second coming in a short time. Today's reading preaches a peace of soul, that God may comfort and strengthen the people in Thessalonica as they strive to live out the gospel in their lives. Brothers and sisters, today we gather in this sacred place as a people of hope, a people who believe in the resurrection, a people who believe in life after death. We believe we already have a share in the life of the risen Christ as we are nourished here with the truth of Christ's word and with Christ's life in the bread and the cup of the Eucharist. Our Holy Father, Pope Francis, once said that hope isn't looking at a half-full glass, which is simply optimism, a human attitude that depends on many things. Pope Francis says that hope is a gift of Jesus, of his very self. Jesus' very name is hope. It is Jesus Christ in you, the hope for glory. My friends, all of us will stand before the great mystery of death any day now, or even years from now. If we live with the Lord, we will die with the Lord. And it's then that we will know the power of his resurrection for all eternity. And brothers and sisters, that is indeed cause for rejoicing in these dying November days. Amen.
Amen.